It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Gay Plus, and of course, iHeartRadio. Good morning to you once again from all of us at VSiN, the sports betting network. Jason Kahn is here as well. Still to come this hour as we close out each and every week on the show, Slow Jammin' with Vinny Maliulo from behind the desk here at the South Point Hotel Casino. We look forward to that. Standing by, Mike Sando, one of the three gentlemen who wrote this great piece on Russell Wilson yesterday. We get tweets. Let me just read a couple here before. Mike, Martin Bands, what a great day. Historic. Josh Towers talking about baseball analytics without Gil coaxing him with a BABIP stat. A reference, miracles happen. Yes, I try to not get in a fight with Josh. And Las Vegas, 514, I will go nuts with you if Russell Wilson comes here to D.C. Oh, boy, would that be awesome. And then a whole bunch more from folks. Tom F. with a tweet about baseball totals and unders. Yes, I failed to mention, when assessing the baseball season win totals market, especially because there's a 150-game threshold here with a lot of these books, in any given typical year with season win totals, the books, if you add up all the season wins, they come up to a greater number than the total of number of wins that are even available during an entire baseball season for 30 teams. Because books know that we as bettors are wired for optimism and we're wired for overs. And so it's shaded, not by much sometimes. Sometimes books have it shaded by, the total pool by 10 games. Other times by 30 or 40. But yes, so does that mean that you should go on an over spree, I guess is what I'm saying. No, your instinct, there are going to be overs for sure, but your instinct should not be that. Your instinct, if anything, especially in this year where we probably expect a lot of teams to miss games and to have funky schedules since we're not out of the woods yet during this pandemic. Yeah, you ought to think about unders more than overs, just as a general rule, going into it. Obviously, it varies from team to team. So, yes, thank you for that tweet. Wanted to clarify that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a gentleman who was kind enough when I was a little pitcher back in the day doing a podcast and might have been wearing pants or not, was always a toss-up, was kind enough to come on my podcast. Now he does great things for The Athletic and wrote this piece along with his two colleagues about Russell Wilson yesterday. It is the return of Mike Sando. How you doing, Mike?
It's great, Gil. I've always loved talking to you. You always have an understanding of the numbers and the context, and I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much for doing this. By the way, I should mention Michael Sean Duggar and Jason Jenks, the other two gentlemen who did this piece about Russell Wilson with you yesterday in The Athletic. Let's start at the beginning, and we'll sort of crescendo to where you think this might end up, and maybe there's no real story in the end on where he might end up. Maybe stays put. Mike, by the way, writes not only for The Athletic, but also has the Football GM podcast. You can follow him at Sando NFL, S-A-N-D-O. How did you and the three of you together, how did you decide to even write this in the first place? Because I'm sure there's a lot of things that you hear and you're like, well, is that a story? Is that not a story? But what made you guys finally decide to write the piece that was entitled What is Driving the Rift Between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? Power and Control.
Yes, the trigger for this entirely was what Russell Wilson said almost out of left field right after the Super Bowl, right? So the Patriots have just won, the Bucks have just won with Tom Brady after he left the Patriots. And here Russell Wilson comes out and does a high-profile media tour, Dan Patrick Show, Ellen DeGeneres, others, complaining about his offensive line. And so he really went on the record. And that allowed us to sort of go back and collect and pull together all of the other little sort of complaints that we knew he had that had filtered out, usually through kind of vague reports, Wilson's camp not happy with this or that. And usually those were around a contract negotiation. They would get written about, but they wouldn't really go anywhere because he'd do a new deal and he'd win games and everybody'd smile and it seemed fine. So this was the most aggressive. This was an aggressive on the record by Russell, grabbing a hold of a narrative that none of us saw coming. No one was sitting there going, God, they got to fix the offensive line as the season ended. They won 12 games.
They did win 12 games. And Russell Wilson, very much always the deodorant for other things that happen in games with the Seahawks. And they do. It's tough because I hear a lot of people who I'm very respectful of. And I respect their football knowledge who are not Pete Carroll fans, But it's hard to argue ultimately with the record, and it's very difficult to sort of determine where does Pete Carroll stop, where does Russell Wilson begin, but the record speaks for itself. So that's interesting that got you guys thinking about it. It's Gil Alexander with Mike Sando from The Athletic right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, and of course, iHeartRadio. In this piece, probably the thing that will stick out most to people who read it is this incident in a team meeting sort of midway through the season. Explain that to folks, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. We, we're careful in our wording of it to not make it sound like, not to over-dramatize this one incident as the reason why there's an issue, but we thought it was maybe symbolic of a divide and his frustration that is with Coach Pete Carroll. So during the season, Russell Wilson, midway point, is an MVP candidate. Unbelievable stats. He's on pace to be in the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, best seasons ever category. And then they hit a rough patch. They played a couple tougher defenses. He has 7 turnovers, Russell does, in 2 games. And Pete Carroll, there's a stressful point going into this Arizona game on a short week. And Russell Wilson has ideas. He wants to help. He very much views himself as a partner, right? Not really an equal to the head coach, but not necessarily an equal to a player, right? In between, he wants to have a say. He wants his input valued. And so he came with some ideas in this meeting, and they were not regarded. They were sort of dismissed, kind of, shrugged off is the impression we get. And that stuck with him. And so, by itself, is that, that's probably the sort of thing that could happen in a lot of teams. But in the context of it, we thought it was a good way to illustrate sort of how he feels. And we think that's accurate.
Did you view that as a sort of fulcrum point where Seattle sort of by design changed the nature of their offense from that point forward the rest of the season, or just happened to time out kind of coincidentally?
Yeah, I think they changed their offense less than we think, but it was there was a public resetting and reframing by Pete Carroll in a way that, hey, we have to run the ball better. And so the perception was we're taking the keys out of the car for Russell Wilson. And statistically, I know you'll appreciate this, as people were talking about, even coming into the season, let Russ cook, right? Let's throw the ball more. Pete Carroll's antiquated. He wants to run the ball. I came up with a little something I called the cook index. Okay. And really that is what percentage of your plays or passes on first and second down in the first 28 minutes of the game. So we take out the 2-minute warning, right? When you could be kneeling on the ball or going fast or whatever because of time. And we just say, this is a period of the game. And in those situations, when you are what you want to be, right, that you, the score differential, the time left in the game isn't a factor. The first half of this season, they were number one above Kansas City on that cook index for passing. And the perception was the second half of the year that Pete Carroll went in the tank, did away, but they were still 7th after that, okay, from game 9 to 16 or whatever, they were 7th. So they did change. It wasn't a complete change, but the results changed. Second half of the year, they averaged about 22 points a game on offense. That was way down. They were middle of the pack in EPA and some of the other more advanced metrics where they had been number one before that. So something changed. Part of it was the philosophy, and part of it was Russell Wilson struggled because they played a lot harder defenses, right?
That's
true. This isn't an 82-game schedule where this isn't a 100,000 simulations in our Monte Carlo simulator. This is 8 freaking games down the stretch, and you're playing Washington. You're playing the Giants. They're not real sexy teams, but they're good up front defensively. They have good schemes. And the Rams, a couple times in there, really good. So if you had sprinkled those throughout the whole year, you might have had your usual 4 bad Russell Wilson games, and no one would have said anything. They're 12-4. But because of the way it came down, then they lose in the playoffs. They don't make it again. And then Russell Wilson happens to be man of the year. He's sitting in that press box with Roger Goodell during the Super Bowl watching Tom Brady and hearing about, oh, Tom, wow, he got out of New England. Look at the Patriots. They suck. God, look at how dumb Belichick looks. Oh, look at how smart Tom is. Oh, and Tom, by the way, he signed Gronkowski. He signed Antonio Brown. Tom. So the ultimate competitor, Wilson, is sitting there smiling with the commissioner. He's got Sierra there, right? It's man of the year, but you know, internally he's thinking, damn it, that should be me. What has to happen for that to be me?
Could you go back to the Sierra part for a second? No, I'm kidding. But, no, it's so refreshing to talk to someone who is, you know, covering this so objectively, because I don't know if you know this, Mike, bettors, which is, of course, that makes up, 99.9% of my audience, not the most rational people in the world. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
I actually thought of Doug Bettors when you said that. Sorry, I'm football. I got to retrain from football into betting here. Yes.
So, you know, Russell Wilson, up to virtually the point in the season that you were talking about with that incident in the meeting, he was like the odds-on favorite to be the MVP. So a lot of people were holding these Russell Wilson tickets. They're like, oh, I mean, this is gold. And of course, then it wasn't at all. And what you are sort of suggesting is, okay, yeah, there was a change, but it wasn't nearly as dramatic given the circumstances, given the context, as what bettors might make it out to be. And bettors, of course, looking for someone to blame, immediately go to Pete Carroll for that blame. Back to Sierra for a second, and this I mean seriously. There are a lot of people throwing around sort of the Yoko Ono rationale. You don't buy into any of that, do you?
No, we took great care in the story, too. And I think that's just an easy thing that people do too frequently, right?
Yeah.
Blame the wife or whatever. Come on. You know, I mean, she's different than most because, look, she probably has 5 times the followers on social media that she does. I'm sure that she has an influence of somewhere there. But I've never talked to her. I've never talked to anyone who's in her entourage or circle. We have no information on that. So that's just a common thing to speculate about, but there's really nothing to it that we know of.
We're talking to Mike Sando from The Athletic, at Mike Sando NFL on Twitter, kind enough to join us, part of the trio who wrote about Russell Wilson and these rumors from Seattle, which we immediately talked about when it came out yesterday during the show yesterday. One last thing before, because there was a prop yesterday that was put out for a little while by one sports book about where he might end up, and I want to get your thoughts on this ultimately. But the last thing about this, and this is sort of for those of us who are beyond being better, just great football fans and love Russell Wilson and just think he's just an absolutely wonderful player. Do you buy into the fact that, is it that Pete Carroll doesn't view the quarterback position in the same way we might as casual fans? Like, there is some harness on Russell Wilson. You would buy into that.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a defensive coach. So all of them see the game through a different lens when you're a defensive coach. The first thing they want to do is don't screw up the game, right? We're not going to lose the game. I can't have the offense losing us the game. That's his orientation 100%. I think a fair criticism of Pete Carroll is that as the game has continued to shift towards the pass, they haven't been that team like Andy Reid's out there. Remember, Andy Reid hired Brad Childress. Hey, go figure out what they're doing in college. Andy Reid's offense looks totally different now than 15 years ago. And he's an extreme example. A lot of other people haven't done that too. But Seattle hasn't been at the forefront of that, right? I mean, they have not been. They've had years where they were way overly ran the ball. So I think there's a fair criticism there. But they opened it up this year. That's a fact, that they were the most pass-oriented team the first half of the year, and Russell Wilson was an MVP. And then it changed for reasons that could include coaching, that could include the quarterback, that could include the opponent. I think I would say that is 100% undeniable.
By the way, I give Mike's wrong Twitter. It's Sando NFL, not Mike Sando NFL. NFL. Just want to point that out for people who are searching and they're like, where is it? And then clarify for us, if you would, Mike, because I think this was the strangest thing about yesterday. From the time of your report in the morning at The Athletic, which had, you know, the potential trade destinations, or at least what Russell Wilson's camp had broached as Dolphins, Jets, Saints, and Raiders, by the time your former colleague Adam Schefter at ESPN came out with his, Dolphins and Jets had been replaced with Cowboys and Saints. What do you make of that?
Yes. Well, that was very interesting to me. It wasn't just Schefter. The agent told Schefter on the record. Usually when there's a story like this that comes out, you might have the player side and the team side sort of downplaying the story, right? Oh, hey, look, this is overblown, whatever. Instead, we had the agent come out on the record to the 8 million follower Adam Schefter and say, actually, these are the teams. So what happened was, the teams, what we cited in the piece were that the teams we thought from our sourcing were consistent with the ones that had come out in a Jason Luck and Fora column at about that time. And there were a number of teams, and they did include the ones that the agent did tell Adam Schefter. But yeah, interestingly, that was news to us that the Dolphins and Jets would be removed. And I think that's significant because those would be the teams that could maybe give the best draft haul in return, right?
Yeah.
When I see these four teams, I'm like, how's there going to be a trade? When you limit it to only those four teams, can they all give Seattle a quarter? But Seattle's not going to rebuild, right? They need someone they can win with, so right?
I would assume, yeah.
Of those teams, I suppose you could win with Dak Prescott. I mean, but what are the Saints going to give them? You know, picks 3 years from now and Taysom Hill? You know, that's just not going to do it. So I thought that was a very curious limiting list that made me think, okay, if those are the teams, then he's playing here this year?
Well, so I guess that's the ultimate question then. So we can brass tacks this here, and we'll throw up this a points bet, put up a prop again yesterday from between your story to the time that it was reported that, hey, I actually didn't really ask for a trade. But, you know, if you traded me, here might be the four teams. Then they took it down. Staying in Seattle, Mike, was the prohibitive favorite, minus 2,500, which means you'd have to, you know, put down 250 for every dollar you'd win there. Do I have that right? 24 to very 10.
Yeah, 250 to win 100.
It's, you know, or I should say 25 to win every
25. Yeah. You have to do 2,500 to win $100.
Correct. Yeah, and right. So yeah. 25 to one. Yes. So, and everybody else is like a short shot. Raiders, the shortest of them, which interestingly was 4 to 1. And then it's, you know, it's just their speculation. These are just completely, you know, taken out of the air. What is your instinct that he stays? Ultimately,
I think that he stays, but the wheels are in motion for him to move at some point before the conclusion of his contract. Like, it wouldn't surprise me then if we got to a point next year where, like, I could see it even getting to the brink where there's reports this year of something maybe coming around the draft or, oh, hey, these were the four teams, but the such and such team would offer this. That wouldn't surprise me because those things can happen until the team comes out and says he's going to be here no matter what. So they haven't done that. That's kind of what happened in the Rodgers situation. Remember, Aaron Rodgers was like, hey, who knows? You know, I may not be here. Right. And then the president of the team is like, oh, yeah, he's going to be here. Well, for whatever reason, Seattle hasn't done that. So until they do that, I think there's a possibility, right?
That's what makes it so interesting. That is the difference. Seattle has not come out and shut these down. In our last couple minutes here, Mike, what is your instinct then on Deshaun Watson? That's the obvious next question, which is, okay, that really appears to be a stalemate, especially since Deshaun Watson met with the new coach, David Culley, yesterday, and he says, look, I still want out. And they don't have to trade him, but I guess he doesn't have to play if he doesn't want to either. Where do you think that goes?
Yeah, that one is different to me because the team has said that they're not going to trade him. So what can make that change, right? They're not even taking offers. There's really no way between now and the start of the season that Deshaun Watson can prove he is serious, right? He's not going to lose money. He's not going to risk anything. That's the hard part. So the team then has to make a determination on whether they think he's serious before the draft, basically, in order to get draft picks this year. It doesn't seem like they're leaning towards believing him. That could change. They could start doing it. But until then, I think this becomes a waiting game, right? This will go into camp. This could go into the season to really test whether he wants to do it. We just don't have any evidence that they're going to listen.
Yeah. Feels like it's going to get super ugly. As ugly as it is now, it might just even get uglier. Last thing, I know you are, by the way, here's the where will Deshaun Watson play in 2021. Equally speculative, Texans are the short shot, not nearly the prohibitive favorite of 25-1 with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Texans plus 250. Then Panthers, then Bears and Broncos. I know you're a Hall of Fame voter, Mike, and I know this gets into an area where it's like, I don't want to say too much and I don't want to put you in a bad spot.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Okay.
Tell me. Ask me what you got.
Is there a player that you feel currently, like back in the day, Art Monk was the guy who was like, he was like the Susan Lucci, right? He could never get in there for 9 years. Is there a player right now you feel like is that guy?
Who should have been in a long time ago and just hasn't gotten the poll.
Correct.
So, I mean, like, hasn't even been in the room lately. Is that what you're saying?
Hasn't really gotten that close, and you're like, why is that the case?
All right. Okay, so this is going to go back to my fandom a little bit, okay? I was a Raider fan at one point.
Uh-oh.
And to me, Lester Hayes was great. Lester Hayes was a iconic player who played an iconic style of ball that was synonymous with the greatness of that team that dominated the Washington football team in the Super Bowl, shut down those great wide receivers along with Mike Haynes.
Yes.
Led the league in interceptions with like 14 one year. I just think he was great. I mean, I don't want to disparage anyone who's up, but like, we have Rondé Barber in the room now, played forever, great player. Just put them side by side to each other. Why isn't Lester Hayes in the room?
The correct answer was Gary Clark, Mike. Thanks for playing. I'm sorry. That's my fandom talking.
Yeah. But that's just me off the top of my head. If you asked me to do this for a show tomorrow and I could actually go think about it, I'd probably come up with three or four others. That's just one for me that I was like, really watch that team, you know?
I'm totally messing around because it just shows that we're all fans in the end, right? That's how we grew up and we all have our biases, all that kind of thing.
The old days.
Yeah, it's fascinating as someone who has a vote, how you came on that. Mike, can't thank you enough. It's great to reconnect. It's great to see you. I appreciate it and a great job on that piece yesterday.
Thank you.
Mike Sando, everybody, from The Athletic. Again, at Sando NFL. Also has the Football GM podcast. Did that piece yesterday with his colleagues Jason Jenks and Michael Sean Duggar. So in the end, he kind of thinks much ado about nothing. Maybe next year, but not this year for Russell Wilson. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up with Vinny Maliulo. Whole bunch to ask him from behind the desk right here at the South Point. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
The Kentucky Derby Trail reaches Arkansas and Florida this weekend. Those races are the focus of the latest Ron Flatter Racing Pod. Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen talks about his top Derby prospect, Jackie's Warrior, in the Southwest Stakes. John Preachy of Horse Race Insider has a preview of the Fountain of Youth as well. And VSiN's Vinny Maliulo, everybody. He handicaps the two races as well. There's also a comment on Churchill Downs' impending sale of Arlington Park. It's the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, or as the cool cats call it, the RFRP. It's available for download now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored by First Bet. And as I say every time, we should all be so cool to have our podcast have a little acronym like that. Beating the Book podcast, Jason, the BTB, available where all podcasts are distributed. By the way, Ron Flatter gets a higher class of horse racing guests than anybody gets on anything. Let me just point that out. So if you're a horse racing aficionado, and look, Triple Crown, just around the corner. It's a good time of year. March Madness leads right up into the Masters, NFL Draft, Derby. Nothing wrong with that stretch. I throw in the Miami Open as one of tennis's great tournaments, they're kind of there in the middle, but, you know, that's just me. It's Vatek tonight. Get it done. Basketball yesterday, we're on primetime action. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. By the way, can we just thank Mike Sando again? John Goulet just reminded me off camera. Sando also responsible for this GM survey that he does every year, which is just fabulous information. Sando does not get the juice he deserves. He's just tremendous, and I really can't thank him enough. Great piece again that he did with his colleagues over there at The Athletic on Russell Wilson. Ultimately, he thinks he'll probably leave in a year, but not this year. So we'll see. Perhaps you were saying off air, you think some of these are just like much ado about nothing?
Stories for story's sake.
People are like, I'm going to bet on this team before he gets there. Because that's what it really comes down to for us betting sake. Everybody's trying to reproduce the Tom Brady thing from last year. But the difference was Tom Brady was a free agent, right? And these guys are not. And so you don't even know if anything's going to happen. So, you know, it's February. Fun to talk about. We wouldn't if this were in a more busy time of year, perhaps. So primetime action last night, getting back to where I was going with this. We're watching basketball, you know, we're watching college basketball, we're watching Michigan crush last night, Gonzaga come from behind to win, we're watching some random hockey bets that Andy McNeil has. By the way, Andy McNeil on hockey, spectacular. How about Veasan for a second here? Andy McNeil on hockey and everybody who's hitting these golf bets. Matt Brown, and of course Brady and Wes on Long Shots, the greatest golf betting show there ever was. Just killing these outrights week after week. This is not normal, people. Like, the instinct is to say, hey, just so you guys know, if you're just landing on VSiN for the first time and, like, we're hitting winners in golf week after week after week, the instinct is to say, just know this is not sustainable. It can't happen every week. But, you know, like, after a while, you're like, I don't know, maybe it is sustainable. Because Matt, by the way, shout out to Kelly Bidlin, who's also the producer of Primetime Action. He does pretty well on it as well. Now, I know Brown and Bidlin do it based on models. I'm not sure about the other guys. Wes just has this sixth sense for it. Brady, too. And humans as well. They watch a lot of golf. But congratulations to all those guys who are killing it week after week, just coming off the home of victory this past week, which was anywhere between 50-1 or 75-1. But anyway, we're watching basketball. I just want to make this comment. It's apropos of nothing, but Sacramento plays Detroit in the NBA tonight. And Detroit is a 1.5-point favorite, let's call it consensus. No, pardon me. Detroit is a two-point dog. Pardon me, I got that wrong. Detroit's a two-point dog. Sacramento's on the back-to-back. Sacramento was getting crushed by the Knicks last night. Like, the Knicks had 77 at the half on their way to a 140-121 win over Sacramento. I just sort of want to say this out loud. It's not an endorsement for a Pistons pick tonight, but I'm certainly not playing the Kings. Because Luke Walton is one of these guys, appears to be a really super nice guy, but Teflon doesn't ever really get criticized for anything. And we were talking about stuff on text during the show. We're doing multiple things at the same time. And my buddy, who I've referenced so many times on this show, was texting during this game. He's right. We were texting back and forth. It's like, you wonder, this guy, as soon as he was a coach of the Lakers with LeBron, they didn't make the playoffs. You know that as a Lakers fan, Jason. That's the first thing. But then all these guys get really good after they're away from him. D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle. I mean, you can go on and on and on. And this Sacramento team is pretty loaded, right? Like, they've got players. And they just played no defense whatsoever. But, I mean, this is a good team with a lot of players. And at some point, you have to, like, you do have to point the finger at somewhere. And you're like, should we be talking about Luke Walton's long-term sort of shaky status there in Sacramento? De'Aaron Fox, Bagley, Hield, lottery picks, Barnes, Halliburton. Man, do I wish the Wizards had drafted Halliburton. But after a while, you look up, Knicks are scoring 77 by halftime, 140 a game. Knicks, this just in, not the 80s Nuggets of offensive fame. A little shout out to the 80s Nuggets randomly. So not a bet on the Pistons tonight, but I'm certainly not betting on the Kings. Monitor that situation. We'll come back. The great Vinny Maiolio is next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Don't forget to sign up with BetMGM for a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on Canelo Alvarez to win against Avni Yildirim. Just use bonus code VSIN100 and don't forget to watch live on DAZN February 27th. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. BetMGM, the exclusive odds provider of DAZN's U.S. boxing broadcasts. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, as always, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789 in Indiana. Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of week. Slow jamming with Vinny Maiolio. Oh, yeah. Listen to that jam.
That's right.
Again, more smooth jazzy than slow jammy.
That's right.
That's my only complaint.
A little bourbon in the coffee. Nice. That's how you start the weekend.
All your requests at 1-800-KMEL-JAMS. It's on tap, Vinny. What's your favorite group back in the day?
I like a lot of music, a lot of different types of music. But as far as
90s R&B, Vinny.
No. I mean, I listen to my kids listen to it, but classic rock.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Rolling Stones, for sure. You got Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
You know, yeah. Well, good stuff.
It's different. Different.
But the soul, the music, jams, I mean, I got to, okay. You know, you got to get a little Motown.
Let me ax you something.
Ax me away.
They're playing college football. A special game investigation reveals that they're playing college football this weekend, and they played last week, and they're going to play
tonight.
FCS football.
Mm-hmm.
So not a lot of television here on this stuff.
No.
I have a I have someone that I know who plays at William & Mary. Couldn't be more excited to play. My buddy O. But you're posting lines for all this? And if you are, yes, the answer is yes. Who's betting this?
More professionals, more sophisticated players. I mean, the average better, the casual fan doesn't necessarily follow it, but there's a respected niche market for it's like a lot of things, Gil, where the smaller conferences in college basketball, right, that folks can zero in on. Again, I'll use the analogy as so. We post the numbers. You don't have to bet everything, right? And not that we have to put up every single thing, but we put up a lot more things. But you don't have to bet everything, you know. So you can specialize in terms of what you want to lock in on. And there are folks out there that will follow FCS football and they'll get into it. They'll pool their resources sometime and say, listen, you know, what do you think about this? So there are some respected opinions out there, and that's who's driving this particular market.
But you guys have obviously made the assessment behind the desk, you and Chrissy and Jimmy, that it's worth it for you guys to put this out there.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's that we learned from was early on in this year's, in the pandemic, in the last year, right, where you'd want to pay attention to what your clientele bets, right? And every place is a bit different. But when you consider right now, we maintained an increased soccer menu. We did not typically put up La Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga, and things like that. But when they were playing, and that was pretty much the only sports for a while, then we expanded it, and there was a response to it. So you try to diversify. You try to be diverse, but are your limits the same?
Right.
For FCS as they are for regular college football.
And the answer is no.
The answer is no. And,
okay.
And because why? You don't have that much. The bigger the interest, the bigger the pool, the bigger the higher the limits. That makes sense. You want numbers will move a lot quicker and things like that. But for the last couple of weeks, we've put it up. This is week three of the FCS. And there's been a response, and folks, they enjoy it, and we like putting it up.
I guess what I'm trying to get at, and I'm not trying to be a smartass, trying to get at this.
No.
So you guys are different than, say, a DraftKings, right? By the way, I have to introduce you to Johnny Avello.
Johnny Avello, I heard he's a nice guy, from what I understand.
Right. So they have, hundreds and hundreds of stuff, right? And you're the South Point. Mm-hmm. You guys do your thing, and you guys know, because you know your clientele, what works for you and what doesn't. And so let's take tennis. I, of course, come on this show, and I talk about tennis all the time, and I love betting tennis. You guys have obviously made some assessment, because you don't do a lot of tennis here at the South Point, right?
We'll put up the majors, the Grand Slam events, Gil, but not even the future, because when we put it up, you put things up, you want to take action to it, right? If there's not, then you want to dedicate your resources behind the counter to what is being bet.
But,
so we'll put up the quarters and further. That's what our clientele bets here.
But I guess what I'm saying is part of that self-fulfilling prophecy is part of that, if you put them up consistently, you might attract more of it, or have you just decided our clientele doesn't care about tennis, we're only going to put up the semis or the quarters or whatever, where you start on the slams, that's all there is to it, and we're just going to stick with that, whereas football, and by the way, I think you did well on the FCS last week, because based on line movement,
wrong. Particularly that New Mexico
so
stake.
I'm just trying to get to that little balance of what if it is, it's not worth it for us to put this up, it is worth it for us to put this up. And even if we wanted to attract that sport better, we don't actually it's not in our best interest to do so. There's a whole
No, I don't. It's not that. It's not like a fear. It's based on experience. Again, like tennis is the example.
Yeah.
You know, you're putting up a future book in tennis, and you're not doing that much business to it. What are folks betting in tennis? Well, they're betting the quarters and beyond and further into the event. Then that's what you dedicate your resources to, and of course the other sports that that are doing the business. Why did you want
to
bet some more tennis
I'd like to
here?
Request. I'd like to make a formal request, Vinny,
If we put it up, you're going to bet it. Then.
Yes.
No matter what, you're going to. You may not
no
have.
No matter what, but I mean, if the numbers are good, I'll bet them.
At least a courtesy play or something, right? You got to pay for the paper. I mean, come on, Gil.
I don't know. This is fascinating to me, right? Because you're a different animal is what I'm getting at here.
Everybody's a little bit unique, I think, you know, and you used DraftKings as an example with the aforementioned Mr. Ravella, which, again, you keep saying we're going
to introduce
you.
But
you're also talking about a multi-jurisdictional operation. Is everything the same in every jurisdiction for them? I'm not so sure it is, and if it's all listed the same in every jurisdiction, I don't know. But they'll do the same. Everybody.
I just find all that fascinating, right?
No,
because
it is. I mean,
your own assessments.
You're paying attention to what you're doing business to, right? I mean, it's You know, is every slot machine the same in every casino? No.
Please put up tennis, Vinny. Please put up tennis.
For you, Gil.
We'll come back. More Vinny. He's got horse racing picks. Let's do that next with Molly Ullo next right here on the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, we're on top of all the sports on today's schedule, as well as the future impacts of NFL trades, free agency, and draft choices to help you become a sharper better for every game on the board. Not just about picks and predictions, but we give you the analysis and insights you need to become a smarter better on every sport. We've got the best handicappers in the business, giving you the tools you need to create your own betting edge. Right now, for only $50, that's it. You can put our experts to work for you all the way through the College Hoops Finals. You get everything we offer, including our members-only daily best bet emails, point spread weekly guides with up-to-date power rankings, the upcoming bracket betting guide, and, of course, all access to VSiN.com. Sign up today to get everything we offer through the end of the College Hoops Tournament for only $50. $50 at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Vinny Maliulo once again from behind the desk here at the South Point Hotel Casino. We brought him from behind the desk in front of the desk.
Thank you. Let me out once a week.
I've reconsidered. We had a little conversation off air.
Okay.
I've reconsidered.
You've reconsidered.
Now, this is different from me just asking for a random, you know, hey, could the 85 Bears, what would the spread be against, you know, the 85 Maryland Terrapins or whatever, right?
Right.
I don't know why I said Maryland. But this is like a sport I'm talking about. And you said, will you give us a courtesy play? And so I've reconsidered. Yes, I will give you a courtesy play as long as you don't put out outlandish numbers.
You know, like years ago, you know, you get somebody, you know, to say, listen, to Jackie Gaughan, for instance, right? Jackie, I want to make this bet. And Jackie I'll put it up, but you have to make a bet.
Yeah.
All right. Now, it's not going to be outlandish, right? I mean, we're not going to put, like I said, a great example, not going to put Secretariat up against the merry-go-round at Coney Island, right?
Okay.
So, but, you know, if that's your, I will have this conversation with Mr. Andrews today for you,
I
Gil.
Know that guy.
How about that?
I know that guy.
You know that guy? You got to introduce me to him, too.
Chrissy. No, just the Johnny. I know you know Chrissy. I'm not sure if you know Johnny. okay, so you were on the RFRP. Do you know what the RFRP is?
Yes, I do.
The Ron Flatter Racing Pod.
I was on this week with him.
You have some horse racing picks for
Well,
folks?
We got the on the road to the Kentucky Derby, which, and again, unfortunately here in Nevada, a dispute between Nevada and Churchill Downs
still
going on. Still
happening?
Yes, unfortunately, yes. We're hopeful that...
What happened last year with that? Oh, it got moved.
The Derby got moved, but the Derby was not available here in the state of Nevada, pari-mutuelly, unfortunately. So there was
that kind of got like because of the pandemic. Well, and
I think
it
did get kind of lost, Gil, in the fact that the Derby was so. I mean, don't forget the Derby was October, right?
Right.
So.
So that's still a dispute. Can you give I don't want to go crazy on this, but can you give the thumbnail for people?
From what it's about money. They can't come to terms. Nevada's folks can't come to terms with Churchill Downs in terms of particular rates.
Who do you think is being outlandish here?
I think, to me, both sides should find a way, because who suffers are the bettors, the patrons.
We bet on these things.
So
I don't know why it became Regis all of a sudden.
Point the finger, you know, both sides have their views and their points. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about the world's greatest horse race in particular, but the most popular race in the United States, that there should be a solution. There should be a way for both sides to get there, in my opinion. By the way, Derby was earlier. It was the Preakness that was in
correct.
It was in August. So
2020 was still weird.
It was just, you know, out of whack.
So did you end up putting up at the South Point your own odds then?
Well, the South Point, Mary Youngers runs the race book here at South Point and booked the race, booked the win, place, and show, and the exacta.
Was she pretty
old school?
Was she pretty confident about her numbers in the end?
I think so. Yeah.
Was there a little bit of a high wire act for her?
Not really. It wasn't. You know, I mean, obviously, in a case like that, you don't need a country house like a couple of years ago to come in at 50-1. But
why are we to believe that this is going to? If it didn't get settled last year, why are we to believe that it's going to get settled this year?
It's more of a hope, Gil. I mean, as a as an operator, as a fan, as a horse racing fan, I would hope so. Again, it's the Derby, right? When you think about it, how you know everybody gets involved in the Derby.
Yeah.
It's the most wagered horse race of the year. And, you know, here in Nevada, there's $8 to $10 million bet on a Kentucky Derby.
The South Point alone, that ballroom upstairs, man.
Well, yeah, you have Derby parties.
Average age 137.
Doesn't matter.
I love
it. But you know what, though, Gil? That's an interesting point you bring up. Because everybody bets it, the demographics for the Derby. Everybody, even a casual fan, because it's the Derby.
I have
the Great American Horse Race.
Yeah,
right?
I've had horses that I bet on the Derby that are still running around the track.
Well, listen, but you keep coming back.
I keep coming
because
back.
It's the Derby.
Because it's the Derby.
There you go.
And every year I say to myself, it's like a quarter of the way around the track.
That's right.
Why do I do this?
I know. Fountain of Youth, though, tomorrow.
Okay, what do you got?
10 horses. I did preview this race. Now, it's a little chalky, but I'll give you my reasoning. Greatest Honor. I went with 9-5.
I'm writing these down.
A Tappet out of Tappet. I like this horse, Gil. 2-for-2 at Gulfstream and 2-for-2 at the distance. And the distance, a mile and a 16th. Of course, the first time they go a mile and a quarter is the Derby, so they won't go a mile and a quarter until then. But I do like this horse. And trained by McGahey. I think this horse is the horse to beat. He's got a nice post position in the 7-hole. Fire at Will, I also used in my exotics. The 3-horse, 7-2, Michael Maker.
This is my favorite version of
Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, a little turf to dirt theory there. So
Greatest Honor. So what race is this now we're talking about?
This is the race 14 tomorrow at Gulfstream.
Race 14 at Gulfstream.
The Fountain of Youth.
Fountain of Youth.
Or as my Uncle Tony would say, the Fountain of Ute.
What's a Ute?
That's right.
Greatest Honor, and you've included Fire at Will in some of your
Fire at Will, and you know, if you want to, there's another horse in this race, a formerly trained by Bob Baffert. I think it's a 7-horse, Tarantino.
Oh, all right, that's easy to remember.
Another turf to ran second in the Holy Bull.
I'm getting a glimpse of you in 20 years, Vinny. This is you with your horse racing.
My reading glasses.
That's exactly.
You don't have to wait 20 years. We get out of here, we'll go to the race book.
Right. 20 years.
We're going now.
Doing it right now, live radio. Okay. NFL draft. Since we're talking.
Yes.
You know, Derby. Before the Derby is the NFL draft.
Yes.
You guys going crazy on that this year?
In terms of what,
say
props?
Yes.
Or
props, yes.
Well, we've put up props the last few years. I know.
But I mean crazy, Vinny.
Well, how crazy do you want to go?
I want to go pretty crazy. But 20, 30.
I was sitting here with Humans the other day. He went crazy. He had a 70-1 shot in golf last week, and he's asked, he wants some more. I'm like, geez.
These golf guys on VSiN are ridiculous.
They're on fire. Dude, Humans, two in a row.
Humans, Brown, Brady.
All of them.
Cannon, yes. West, Reynolds.
Yep. Long shots. Check it out. Those guys are... they are. They're, no, Matt's had a good 2 weeks. And then before that, he ran second like four straight weeks.
Matt Brown on Primetime Action, mm-hmm. not to.
No, Matt does a great job.
But Matt Brown had to settle for the 50-1. Like he had, who was it that was in that was leading the whole way?
But last week?
Yeah, and then dropped off. Now it's escaping me who it was. It wasn't Homa. But
Homa won last week.
Yeah, no, Homa won, but he had Sam Burns. He had Sam Burns, who was like leading for three rounds. It was like 100-1.
Yeah.
And then that crapped out, and he had to settle for the 50-1.
Did he have Finau also?
No, Kelly Bidlin
Kelly
had
did.
Finau.
Okay.
These guys are just like hovering right around
the top of the... Listen, in all seriousness, Long Shots is a good show. There's good insight, good perspectives. Wes Reynolds does a good job as well.
Yeah.
Brady Ken, you mentioned all
those guys.
The guys. Matt, both Matts, Brown and Humans. So.
And I was saying earlier... My instinct is to say, well, look, disclaimer, this is not sustainable. Mm-hmm. These guys aren't going to hit them every week. And then after like five, six of these, you're like, maybe it is sustainable.
Yeah, well, listen. And again, if you break when they break it down and you listen to how they're breaking it down, there's good sound reasoning for it.
Nice dodge on my NFL draft question.
What do you want to know? I just told you we're putting it up. We're going to put up the draft.
All right. But are you expanding the menu, you think?
Again. Another request. Come to the request lines are open. Okay. Gil Alexander
can I ask you a
wants
question?
More. You want what prop do you want for the draft?
Let me just ask you a bigger question because we only have 2 minutes. But this is probably the most important 2 minutes of the day right here. So we're on Primetime Action every night. Me, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin, 7 to 10 Eastern, MSG Plus. Every night, at least once, we say because we put up. Again, Johnny Avello's draft.
You guys are in game. The in game is
in game, but we're putting up props from different places, and invariably we get to the point where we're like, well, we can't bet this in Nevada, but you guys can bet it wherever these are. Like, Nevada's its own ecosystem. I get that. Do you think that's going to change?
You would like to see the Nevada wagering menu expanded. Is what you're saying?
Exactly what I'm saying.
Right?
Okay. Thank you for articulating.
It took a half hour to get there, but
thank you for articulating in seconds what I said in 30 minutes.
That's all. Well, listen, we only have, a minute, so I'm being cognizant of the clock.
You are slow playing me.
Gil, you're asking, you want, again, to what extent and to what is the end, to evaluate exactly what it is. Sure, we're evaluating all the time. The menu is bigger today than it was a year ago.
Yes.
It's certainly bigger than it was 2 years ago. You're always evaluating. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that, you want this exact. You're going to see more coming up for college basketball, obviously, right?
Yeah.
You know that because we know that there's going to be an interest in it. So you want to put up, you want to gauge the interest and put up things that are going to generate handle, interest, which translates to handle. So it's good feedback by you, Gil Alexander.
This is where it goes off the rails. Vinny's like, I've kind of had enough of this chat. Last question on the way out.
No, it's not. Go ahead. I'm betting the over.
Let's put it this way. If 2 years from now, you and me are sitting here, let's say.
Right.
We're having this conversation.
With my reading glasses and my racing form.
Don't you think this whole landscape in Nevada is completely different? Like somebody else is going to show up. It's going to change everything. Don't you think? Would you be if you're a betting man, Vinny Maliulo, don't you think that's a
Do I
a
think
favorite?
There'll be more operators? Yeah.
Yes.
I think it'll expand, and that's good.
And then an explosion of things.
Well, it's not like we don't do anything.
No, I know.
Like, you make it seem like we don't.
No, that's not what you know. I'm not trying to make it seem that way. I'm just trying to have objective conversation.
Will the wagering menu be expanded? Will the wagering options be expanded? They've expanded here 2 years from 2 years previously, 2 years from now. I would say they will.
I think my work is done. Vinny, thank you as always.
Always good to be. So welcome back, Gil.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Good luck with everything betting wise. Let's go, Iga. Get it for me. Lombardi Line next at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.